It's all about your health, your wellness. Radio MD. RadioMD.com. Get healthier, get fit, eat better, have a richer quality of life. Health on the go. Staying well with Melanie Cole, MS.
Some anxiety is considered normal and even beneficial because it does help you to prepare for certain, you know, situations. But there are some situations where panic disorder can set in, anxiety disorder that is just over and above normal. My guest is Rita Anyanara, and she's an author, writer. So explain to us, welcome to the show, Rita, and explain to us, what is the difference between normal anxiety and anxiety or panic disorder?
Yes, thanks for having me, Melanie, and that's a great question. When you have panic disorder, you're in a constant state of fear and worry. You always have that elevated level of stress, whereas when you're worrying normally or you're just dealing with the daily stresses of life, you have a few moments where you're trying to work through those fears, and then you're able to relax afterward.
Okay, so you can kind of take control of it and relax afterwards, whereas if it becomes a full-blown something, what, it carries on for a while?
It carries on. It impacts how you see your world and your ability to be able to try new and different things, and it can become debilitating.
And debilitating meaning you don't want to leave your house, you don't want to attend functions. And I know some people with these kinds of disorders, Rita, and so my question to you is this something that you can deal with, or is it something that really gets worse over time?
Yes, absolutely. And the worst thing you want to do is back away from your fears and let them compound. And everyone at some point that has a problem with chronic anxiety or an anxiety disorder reaches a certain breaking point, and that's when they stand back and say, you know, I'm getting worse, I need to do something to break this cycle. And for me, it was traveling and getting out there and confronting my fears one at a time. And, you know, it was a hard, challenging road for me, but it was the way that I overcame so many of my phobias that were leading to this chronic stress level.
So you go to see somebody, if they feel that they've got these panic disorders or agoraphobia or something along those lines, and what is generally the treatment that is behavioral therapy, medication? What generally is done for this?
Yeah, it's behavioral therapy and it's medication. It's definitely a balanced approach. You want to make changes to your lifestyle as well, but a lot of people, they're so overwhelmed and sometimes also depressed at the time that they're seeking help that they're unable to do all these things, and they might think, well, why bother? And they might be unable to get out of a certain mindset, and that's when their relationship with their doctor and their willingness and determination to try something different to break out of these old patterns of thoughts of fear become so important.
So medication-wise, Rita, you know, we an antidepressant society, Xanax and Prozac, and there's so many on the market. Do those work for true panic disorders, or are those mostly for depression, some anxiety, or do those work for a full-blown severe panic disorder?
Well, there's so many different drugs is because each one addresses certain symptoms, and you will get a certain medication that addresses both depression and anxiety and the intense physiological factors that lead to a full-blown panic attack. And so I went through some rough years where I had to try different medications, and I got frustrated, and I thought about not taking any or taking St. John's wort. I was pretty frustrated, but you know, I stuck with my psychiatrist, and he helped me find something that worked for me in combination with changing my lifestyle.
So when you say changing your lifestyle, and because this is a personal story for you, Rita, what kinds of things do you have to, you said face your fears, you have to force yourself to go out and sit there in that situation that you're afraid of? Like, I'm an anxious flyer. But I do fly, and I'll get on the plane, but I am worried before and then during, and only really feel great once I know I've landed. So is it a face your fear and just put yourself in the situation?
Well, the beauty of travel is that it really takes you out of your mind and back into your body. So you can be doing things that you would normally freak out about or think too much about, and you're doing them as you're doing them, you're not even thinking about it. So it's becoming more natural to you, and you look back on it and say, well, that wasn't so bad. So you say, well, what else am I not doing that maybe is not so bad that will make me a more confident person?
Okay, so, you know, and certainly where travel is concerned, a lot of people are afraid of highways or, you know, flying or certain, you know, places to go, that sort of thing. But if what you're panicking about is just normal every day, something that can actually make it so that you can't function, then what's involved as far as, like, you know, behavioral therapy? I mean, there must be psychotherapy and some serious things that have to be done to get you to be able to function in the world, go to a job.
Yes, absolutely. And it helps to, you know, be with someone that you love and trust. And we're not talking so much about, you know, on the job, but if you do want to take a trip, going with someone who understands your limitations and your phobias, and watching what they do and how people react to them, and then gradually putting yourself in the place of that person so that you realize it's not so bad, that, you know, you're not so different, you're not so weird, you can work through whatever has been holding you back. So starting out with the help of someone else, and then also starting out small, you know, not deciding that you're going to take a two-week trip, you know, to France, but going somewhere local and building up your confidence a little bit.
And so is there, like, something back in the past that they generally find out, you know, that is what caused it? Or is this a chemical imbalance? Is it generally something that, you know, they can trace roots for?
Well, Melanie, it's really a combination most of the time. It's going to be some genetic predisposition and some social factors, perhaps, you know, how someone is treated by their peers or their family, and personality also plays quite a bit into it. Someone that's a highly sensitive person, as the coin has been termed, tends to be more prone to anxiety. So, and the important thing is to not see that as a disadvantage, because there's many, many benefits of being a highly sensitive person, but to not let the world and all the stimuli around us just start to wear us down.
Is this something that can carry on genetically? I mean, maybe not completely genetically, but if I'm a mother and my children see me, I try not to let them see me be anxious about flying. But if they do, is this something that could carry over and I could be causing my children to become, you know, panicky and have anxiety disorders?
Yes, definitely. And I observed from an early age that, you know, my dad in particular suffered from a lot of anxiety, and you know, I also observed that he would work through it, and I think that made a huge difference for me. He would just shake and shudder before he had to give a presentation for work, and he got through it. I mean, the way he worked through, you know, this fear of getting up in front of people, this intense social anxiety, that kind of inspired me. So that's probably why, even when I was at my worst, I thought, you know, I can work through this. And, you know, I owe him a lot of credit for that.
So in just the last 10 seconds or 20 seconds or so, Rita, give the listeners your best advice on coping mechanisms to gain control of your life. And your book is The Anxious Traveler by Rita. And so give us a little bit, just 10 seconds.
Just never give up. Have the determination to face your fears, because it's your life. You know, time ticks fast. Do what you're afraid of and make your way through it, and you won't be sorry.
And that's really great advice. You sometimes just have to face your fears, and that's the way that you can get through things. We all have our anxieties, but when it becomes full-blown anxiety disorder, that's the time you need to take control and seek help to do something about it so that you can, you know, live a good quality of life. This is Melanie Cole. You're listening to Radio MD. Thanks for listening. Stay well.